Today on the podcast, I have Laura Jennings, and she is here to talk about something that I recently talked about on Instagram, what side hustles from home can look like. So Laura, thanks for coming on.
I'm so excited to be here.
So Laura, you have not always been a VA. Can you tell us a little bit about your career path that led you up to now what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely have not always been a VA. I had actually never even heard of a virtual assistant until I was 33. At the time I heard about it, I was actually a college professor teaching interpersonal and public communication to students. And prior to that, I was in restaurant management. I was an assistant general manager of a Jason's Deli, helping make people sandwiches for lunch.
Awesome. So very different than being a VA.
Very different. I never had held like a traditional admin type role ever before until shifting into this VA space.
So when you were a professor, what kind of made you start looking for something else before you knew that VA was what you wanted to actually do?
My daughter arrived. I actually was a woman who always, my whole life, I was like, I want to be a mom so bad, but I don't want to be a stay-at-home mom. Like, I just had zero. I love working. I just am very driven by that. But then we had our daughter. We had a couple years of infertility, which I think played into the mindset shift a little bit. And then once she was here, right, and there's actually a human in your arms, it started to shift a little bit. But I taught online for the semester she was born. And so I was home with her until she was about 5 months old. And as soon as I had to go back on campus, I just very quickly realized I was really, really done with somebody else having control of my schedule and dictating what my day and therefore her day looked like. So that was really what kind of triggered this thought process of, okay, how else can I make money? Because financially, there was no chance I could just be a stay-at-home mom. We needed my income. And so that was when I really started looking for what my options might be to make money in a different way.
So when you decided to leave being a professor and instead shift, did you shift right away into a full-time role? Did you start small while you were still teaching? How did you start to make that transition over?
Yeah, I did it pretty gradually. Still at 5 months postpartum. Looking back now, I can see that I definitely had some PPA. Didn't identify it at the time, but I was still very much just like drowning in newborn land and sleep deprivation. And so I was like, okay, let's just test the waters. And I was still teaching a full course load. So I actually started at first with two very part-time clients. Between the two of them, I was working maybe 5 to 7 hours a week. But it was the perfect sweet spot for me because of everything going on. And I really just wanted to see. I had never heard of it before. And I was doubting myself, like, can I even do this? I've never been an admin before. I don't even know if this will work for me. But I found really quickly that I really liked the work. And I also learned really quickly that it actually didn't matter at all that I had never been an admin, because clients, the small business owners you work with, they're always going to train you on what they want done in their business, right? And so I had the skill sets from previous jobs, even if I wasn't implementing them in the exact same way now in this VA role. But you can still pull. Now I always say, because now I coach women too. So now I always say, you're never starting over. You're just switching lanes. You're literally just taking your skills and using them in a new way. So I learned that pretty quickly in my first couple of experiences with these part-time clients. And then about 5 months in, I, from Instagram, signed a $4,000 per month contract, which I'm not a math girly. You're the math girly here, Carly, but that's $48,000 a year. And as a college professor, I was making $46,000. So that was really the moment where I was like, okay, this can like actually be the solution.
One of the biggest hangups I hear for making a switch of any kind, whether it's, you know, from full-time to part-time work or whatever, is, but how do I start? Because I feel like once you do have the first client or two, then it starts to snowball, because not only do you gain confidence, but also now you have references and you can like actually put things on your resume as having done things. Where do you recommend people starting, finding that first client and identifying what they can actually do for them?
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing I have women do through my coaching to help them identify initially, if they're feeling like, I want to make a shift, like I want to be able to work from home, I want to have more time freedom, but I have no clue how to even start, is to identify the skills that you already have, because you really don't need to go out and learn anything new. We just need to help you see what you already have that's valuable, right? So one really easy way to do that is grab a sheet of paper, draw a line down the middle, put work on one side, life on the other side, right? Because maybe this sounds surprising to some women, but literally what you do to manage your life, manage your household, manage your family, those are actually virtual assistant skills that clients will pay you for to manage those things in their business. So get that sheet of paper, split it down the middle, brain dump all of your responsibilities, all of your tasks, all of the things that you are in charge of at work and at home that probably wouldn't get done if you're not the one doing them, right? And then look at the root of what that skill is. If one of your jobs at home is to make sure that everyone in the house has their 6-month dentist appointment on time, right? That it gets remembered and that it gets scheduled and that the insurance stays up to date. Okay, then you could help a client manage their calendar. We have to pull back and look at them more big picture and less literally, because it's the root of the skill set that can be applied to what you can actually offer to clients. And so that's usually very illuminating for women if they just brain dump it out. And then it's, okay, well, I actually have a lot that I could do.
And sometimes what small business owners will pay for is not necessarily some like highly trained skill as much as it is the task that they could easily do. It's that you have the time to do it. I pay a VA to manage my inbox, my email inbox. And it's not like I can't respond to emails. It's not like I can't do the customer service. I honestly just don't want to. I don't like that task. I don't like that part of my job. And so, you know, she does something that's not, it's not like she had to have this hyper specific training in order to do it. She just takes customer emails, requests to be on the podcast, whatever, and she just responds to them. Like you said, anyone who's managing their basic life is responding to emails and is answering and saying, oh, let me get that answer for you or whatever. So I think it's less about, oh, I have to have this skill that I'm specifically trained for, and more so I have the work ethic, the time, and the drive in order to take that off of someone's plate. Because that's really, as a small business owner, that's really what I think of paying for, is the value of it being off my plate and on someone else's plate. So a lot of times I think it is less about this, oh, I'm trained in Excel spreadsheets or I'm trained in QuickBooks, and more I just have the margin and the willingness and the basic interpersonal skills in order to do that same thing for someone else.
Yeah, that's incredibly, incredibly spot on in two different aspects. Number one, like I always tell women when I'm talking about this opportunity, it's small business owners, the clients, they're hiring you to clear part of their mental load. Because I do get questions a lot of time where people are like, is someone really going to pay me $25 to clear out their email inbox? And it's abso-frickin-lutely they are, because it's not the task, right? Like you're saying, it's not the task of going to answer emails is so hard and you have to be so smart to do it. No, you can, anyone can do it. It's that the business owners, especially small business owners, did not get into business to do admin. They simply didn't, right? Like, you did not start your business to be answering emails or scheduling podcast calls and fitting them into your calendar. You started your business to help women get out of debt, to make an impact. And so that's why small business owners are more than happy to pay that $25 an hour is the industry standard in the United States. And they're happy to pay that to do these general admin things, because what they're really paying for is peace of mind and a reduced mental load so that they can go pour into creating impact with their business without neglecting all the things on the back end that still have to be done, right? In order for a business to run smoothly. So
yeah, I know. I remember when I interviewed VAs for my VA position, I was primarily looking for someone who had an opposite personality from me. I was like, I need to be balanced out in terms of, I love like making the content and talking to people on Instagram and whatever. I'm so not like a type A organized, structured person. So I was like, I'm looking for someone who is just like naturally structured, who likes to have organization around their stuff, because I know that that person will balance out what I don't bring to the table, right? I need that balance. And so I think people are just so much more equipped and skilled than they believe that they are.
Yeah, Absolutely. And it's business owners are looking for the missing puzzle piece, right? That's exactly what you were doing. You were like, this is what I have established. This is what I need. Let me find somebody who's that exact puzzle piece so that my overarching business can run smoother, more efficiently. And I, as the business owner, can take a deep breath, right? And not feel so overwhelmed. And I think that sometimes women seem surprised. Sometimes women seem really surprised when I say this. And other times they're like, oh yeah, duh, Laura. It's one way or the other. But like you were saying, you were looking for someone who really just had those personality traits, right? And I've been doing this for 5 years as a virtual assistant. So I've talked to, I can't even count how many business owners about how I could help them in their business. But also now being a coach and also a small business owner, I have a lot of friends who are business owners too. And so we have conversations and truly about probably, I would say, and you can tell me if this number is on track for your thought process when you were hiring. Most small business owners, when they're bringing on a VA, they're weighing your hard skills versus your soft skills, right? So your technical skills, your program knowledge versus just who you freaking are as a person. Your soft skills are probably getting 60 to 80% of the weight. And I think a lot of women who think about doing this because our ego wants to protect us, right? We talk ourselves out of saying, I don't have the skills piece of it, when in reality, that's just the fraction. That's the small fraction. Your soft skills, being proactive, being a critical thinker, being organized, being detail oriented, being reliable. Those are things that business owners, that's why they're happy to pay you, right? Because they can teach you their programs. They can teach you their systems. They can teach you their softwares, and they will, right? You're never just going to get thrown into the deep end, but they can't teach somebody to be reliable. They can't teach their VA to be a good communicator. And so I always say that like you are your superpower, and just trusting that like people, the clients that you end up working with are going to pick you because of who you are, not because of this laundry list of hard skills on your resume.
I remember and my VA has been, I think it's like close to 2 years now she's been with me, but I remember on her interview, she was taking, I was taking notes of what she was saying, but she took notes of what I was saying. And I remember that really stood out to me because I was like, okay, she's like really listening and wants to find out what I'm looking for. And so that just stood out to me. And again, that's something that is a soft skill of listening. Like I was just like, she's hearing what I'm saying and she wants to understand what I'm saying. So she's writing down some notes. So yeah, I 100% agree. I would say 60% is probably a conservative estimate because those are skill, like you said, that's something that you like have or don't have. Like I can't teach someone who I'm talking to on Google Meet for 30 minutes a week. I can't teach them how to listen, you know? And so that's the thing that you need to already have. I hope people listening can kind of hear, I have those things already. Because again, I was not looking for someone who had a technical skill. So basically it took 5 seconds for me to evaluate their hard skills because that was just on the resume. And then the actual interview was the soft skills of like, how do you and I connect as we're chatting, you know, and like, how do we respond to each other for what they're looking for? And those are the things that especially a mom, you just have those skills, you know, you listen and you're organized and like, you're willing to do something for someone else. Like you already know that you have all those things. So I hope people can kind of just even in hearing you and I go back and forth on you are a VA and a business owner. I'm a business owner who uses a VA. Oh, there's people actively out there looking for the things that I already know how to do. I think one of the big hurdles I see is I just don't even know where to find that first client. Like, how do I find someone who will even give me a chance?
Yeah. My answer is probably going to be a little bit different than other VA coaches out there on the internet. I think I take a different approach. I will always encourage women to spend time actually proactively networking and creating connections rather than spending their time in the spaces that tend to be the first place people turn, which are freelancing sites like Fiverr and Upwork or LinkedIn and Indeed, because those, I think our brain is just kind of trained if we're looking for a job, right? We like go to a job posting site and we scroll and see where we can submit our stuff because we're so used to W-2 type scenarios in our society. But I'm really not a fan of those spaces for several reasons. Number one, there's a lot more scam postings that just are not legit at all. And it's exhausting to weed through them. Number two, if you're on a freelancing site like Fiverr or Upwork, they take a cut. That's how they are a business, right? And so you're forfeiting some of your income by finding a client there. Number three, a lot of people on those platforms are looking actually for international VAs at $5 to $8 an hour. I have so many women who are like, but they're only wanting to pay. And I'm like, because they're not looking for a US based, they're looking for someone in the Philippines, right? So it's just really not like the market just really doesn't line up. And then the last reason is that because when legit postings do pop up that are at a respectable pay rate, your competition level is so freaking high because every US-based person who's qualified is probably dropping their resume in that hat. So it really just feels like a time suck. And it's like the risk versus reward is not in your favor. I would much rather have women spend time. Number one, just really think about what kind of business you want to support. What are your passions? What are your hobbies? What are your interests? The types of businesses you work with also don't have to be related to what you do if you currently have a job. I have so many women who are like, I work in the medical field, and they feel like they have to stay in the medical field. And it's no, we can take those skills and maybe you're really passionate about parenting. So instead, maybe you want to work with parenting coaches, right? And use your skills to support them and feed this passion that you have. And then once you've kind of got an idea of the types of business you want to support, use Facebook, use Instagram, use Threads. A lot of people still aren't on Threads yet, but Threads is booming with small business owners right now. And get in there and proactively seek out accounts that are that ideal client for you. Follow them, get on their email list. I know you did this when you hired your VA because I'm a follower. As soon as you were ready to hire, it went out to your email list and your social media, right? And that's very common because small business owners want somebody who's interested in their business already. And then just engaging with them like very organic and genuinely to the point that there's always kind of this shifting point where you can then pitch. I coach women not to pitch anything until they can come with a solution, right? Until they've had enough conversation or they've ingested enough of their emails or their social media content to be able to show up with a solution and say, hey, here's something I see that I think I could help you with instead of, because again, that's showing you're proactive, right?
Yeah.
Instead of just popping in and being like, I'm a VA, if you need help with anything, let's go. And I know sometimes that might sound like it's going to take longer. But number one, it's really not, because the job listings thing, you could spend hours and hours and days and weeks searching and not find anything good. But it also, the ROI, the payback on going this route of actually connecting with business owners is what's going to set you up to sign clients that you're actually aligned with, both on a personal level and with their business, because you want to work with businesses and business owners that you are just excited to show up for, right? This is a choice. You have a choice in who you work with. So let's actually make it good. Let's make it someone that you're like, hell yeah, I'm ready to show up and support her. And going that route is also what's going to allow you to find stability in this line of income. Because yes, you're a freelancer. Yes, you're an independent contractor. But when you're finding clients you're aligned with, you said you've had your VA for 2 years. I've been with one client for 4 years. I had another client for 3 years. I have a VA for my small business. She's been with me for 2.5 years, right? And so there's absolutely longevity and stability to be found, but it's only found when you're signing clients you're actually aligned with, not just like trying to get one-off projects from these job posting sites.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I decided intentionally that the only place I was going to post it was with my existing audience, because I was like, I want someone to come. I don't want to have to explain what I do and like how, what I talk about or whatever. So I wanted someone to come from my audience, and this was not a job requirement at all, but like she actually uses, just in her personal life, uses my budget template. And so what that allowed for was that as she manages my inbox, sometimes she can actually answer people's questions about like, where they're like, oh, this part of my budget, like this thing's not working. And she can actually answer the question knowledgeably because she's familiar with it. And so I completely agree with the idea of finding someone that you're like plugged into and familiar with is mm-hmm. going to not only be easier for the person who's working, like I'm sure it's easier for my VA that she follows my Instagram and that she knows what I'm doing. So she can just kind of have those conversations, but it's also a lot more appealing for the small business owner because that familiarity is very valuable too. And then mm-hmm. it creates that longevity of, I think it just works well for both of us because we were aligned before we even started.
Yeah, exactly.
So another thing I want to talk about, I know you've done this more full-time for a long time as you switch careers. Is it possible to do this like 4 to 5 hours a week? Or can this be little pieces here and there? Or is it like, oh, they're only looking for 25 hours or something?
No, it's actually more common that business owners are looking for 10-ish, like in that way lower part-time. There's the ability to build up whatever level of income and hours of work you want to, because it's also very common as a VA to build, I refer to it as a client roster, right? Where you can stack clients in order to get you to that workload and that income you're looking for. It is also very possible to find clients who do want 30 to 40 hours a week. There are just less of them, right? That's a much smaller pocket of the market because that's obviously a bigger budget item for them. Like they have to have reached a certain level of financial success. It is way more common that small business owners are looking for 5, 10, 15 hours a week. And so it's super easy. It's perfect as a supplemental income because of the fact that if you want to work 5 hours a week, you can probably find just one client who needs that time, you know, that amount of work from you. And that's actually a very common amount for what business owners are looking for, especially to start. But yeah, you have full control just depending, because with each individual client, y'all will agree on the services you're going to render for them, the rate that they're going to pay you for that, and then also the amount of hours that are expected to be worked. So it can also fluctuate in different seasons of life, right? When I started doing this, I did start it much slower and then saw the ability to replace my teaching income. And then I hustled really hard for 2 years because we had very specific financial goals. So for a couple years, I did work 40-hour weeks. Granted, I still also got to have my daughter home with me because not only can you control how many hours you work, you have full control over when you work as a VA. There's no set hours. I'm a night owl. So I did a ton of my work for years from 9 p.m. to midnight. My house was sleeping. I'm wide awake. My brain's operating at its prime. And clients don't care. Clients genuinely don't care when you work. As long as your stuff is done on time for whatever, you know, deadline exists for a project and it's done well, it doesn't matter when it gets done. And so that's another reason it's great for supplemental, especially if you have a 9 to 5, right? You can absolutely work in the evenings or before work or that last 20 minutes on your lunch break or while you're sitting at your kid's gymnastics class, you know what I mean? But I did work really full-time hours for a while because we had big financial goals. I don't know if you know this, Curly. I started this when my daughter was 5 months old. I signed that first big client when she was like 9 months old. At 10 months old, we moved into my mom's basement. Oh. We moved into my mom's basement with a 10-month-old and our 80-pound bulldog because we really wanted to save for a house. And our rent on our townhouse was going up to $2,200 a month. And my mom was very kind and offered us her half-finished basement to live in. But like when we made that move, I was just starting this VA stuff. And so it was just starting to take off. And so I was just hustling my face off, essentially, and signed another big client that fall. But when we moved into my mom's house, it was August. And we were like, okay, max 2 years. Like our sanity, don't even know if we can take 2 years, but that's our max. And because of my VA income, we moved in August. We signed a contract on a new build home on Christmas Eve, and we closed on that house in April. And the entire down payment came from my virtual assistant income. Actually life-changing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It sounds mm-hmm. so cliche to say, but I'm like, I also don't know what could be more life-changing
yeah.
than being able to provide a home for yeah. our family, you mm-hmm. know? And then when we moved in, we had a couple things we wanted to do. A new build, if anyone's had one before, your backyard's just dirt. We had to build a backyard, another $20,000, right? Funded through my VA income. And then I was able to kind of take a breath and step back. And so then I adjusted my client roster. I had one client that I was working with that I didn't really love. Like, it was kind of a means to an end. And so then I was able to let that client loose and shift my hours and shift where I was putting my focus. But you have that control and you can adjust your workload, your income in different seasons of life because you are an independent contractor and because you are that freelancer.
Yeah. And I think for, especially for like moms who either already have another job or who have kids that they're staying home with, I think it's easy to forget or not realize that most of the time in most VA situations, there's very little of it that's like you and I are on a Zoom call from this time to this time. Like I, in the school year, I meet with my VA 30 minutes a week. And then in the summer, like actually meeting, you know, on Zoom or whatever. And then in the summer, we move that to every other week. So like she's doing stuff for me in the background and getting work done and answering inbox and stuff. But in terms of her having, you know, her kids at home and my kids at home and we have to be face to face, it's 30 minutes a week while the kids are in school and 30 minutes every other week that the kids aren't in school. And other than that, like we just communicate by Slack if we need to get things done, and it can happen anywhere, anytime. I'm often like responding to her Slack messages on my phone and she's probably doing the same back. So it is I just think it's the ideal be at home on your own schedule, on your own time kind of scenario, because you could, like you said, you could be working 40 hours a week, but it's not 9 to 5. It can be 9 to noon and 6 to midnight, you know, like it can be whatever you want it to be in a much more flexible way than even a lot of, my husband works remote, for example, but he has to be on from 9 to 5 and I don't have to do that. And my VA doesn't have to do that.
Yeah. The level of flexibility, because I hear from sometimes women are like, but I don't want to replace my 9 to 5 and still have to work 40 hours to make the same income, which I understand. And once you scale and you've got some experience under your belt, you won't, right? Like I make the same amount now as I made 2 years ago, but I work 20 hours a week because my experience has scaled and my rates have scaled. But at the same time, like you're saying, even when I was working 40 hours a week, it was a very different 40 hours a week, like very different. It allowed me to be home with my daughter. She didn't go anywhere until she started 3K. That wouldn't have been the case if I had stayed in my, you know, in my 9 to 5, my college professor position. The other really cool thing is that not only do clients not care when you work, so you can use any of the 24 hours of the day that you want. I literally would have times where I was like nursing her at 2 a.m. and I was like, I might as well check some emails. You know what I mean? I'm up, I'm scrolling Instagram. I might as well get paid for these next 30 minutes while I'm up. But I always say too, like you can work in the pockets of your day as a virtual assistant. So if you do have that 9 to 5, if you're a stay-at-home mom and you're like, it's summer, it's chaos, my kids are everywhere, I could never sit down and work for 2 hours. You don't need to. You truly don't need to. The tasks that you do for clients take 5, 10, maybe 15 minutes. And you can literally pop in and do one and then pop out and go run in the sprinkler, right? And then once your kids are happy and they're just running loose and you're sitting on the patio, cool, do another 10. You know, like you can be very present in your life and yet still be contributing financially, because obviously there are some times like I work at night and cool, I get that work, that block of work, but you don't have to have that in order to be successful at this, especially if you're just trying to bring in some of that supplemental and do it part-time.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I love it. So for people listening who are realizing that their soft skills are more important than their hard skills, there are absolutely business owners who will pay for what they have to offer already, regardless of what their career is, and that they can start small and do it in the pockets of their time. How do you get somebody to be like, okay, just go for it. Stop planning it. Stop refining the resume. What do you recommend, whether it's like your masterclass or whatever, what do you recommend for people that just put themselves out there, which is often the hardest part, and just give it a go?
Yeah, it definitely is the hardest part. That's a conversation I have all the time, all the time. And it's one of those things, as are a lot of things in life, right? Once you actually take the step to start, it's going to feel easier, right? Once you sign that first client, you're going to be like, what was I worried about? This is fine. You just have to take that first step. And I have a masterclass available. It's free. It's pre-recorded. So as soon as you drop your email in, you can have the video in your inbox. And it's very informative in the sense of my goal for this masterclass was I want anyone who listens to it by the end of it to know enough about becoming a VA, to know if it's a fit for their personality, their income goals, their lifestyle. But I also give you 3 action item steps. So you're going to get my income calculator that will help you really see what kind of income you could be generating right now, in 6 months, in a year. And we're also going to do that kind of time blocking activity to help you see where it could fit in your day. Because if you are someone who's, I hear you guys talking about the pockets, but I still feel like I'm too busy, this activity will help you really highlight where and how it could realistically fit into your day. And then the 3rd action item is actually helping you figure out at least 5 services that you could start offering right now by processing through what those responsibilities are, like we talked about earlier, but it's a little more guided because it's me walking you through it in the masterclass. So yeah, it's I think it's 55 or 60 minutes, but super helpful, informative, and also gives you those action item steps to really help you kind of take that first step and get the ball rolling.
Awesome. Just purely out of curiosity, so that people can get a kind of a picture in their mind for the long term of what it can look like. You know, a lot of times we're so focused on what it's going to look like when we start versus what it's going to look like as we've done it for a while. How many clients do you have and how many hours a week would you say that you work?
Yeah, so right now I'm 5 years in, which is wild, half a decade. Right now I work with 2 clients and I work about 20 hours a week, which is just my sweet spot, happy spot, because I now also have my coaching business, which takes a lot of time and energy too.
Yeah. But that's awesome. And I love that, like that also gives you an idea of how those throughout those 5 years, the 5 years themselves didn't look identical. Like you were able to flex it up and down as you had goals. Because a lot of people, like what I talk about is when people have very specific financial goals. I have this credit card that I want to pay off. Mm-hmm. Being able to attach that goal to some work and say, okay, maybe I'm going to take 3, you know, maybe I'm going to build myself up to 3 clients, but once that credit card gets paid off, I'm going to back down to 2 or something, you know, like the idea that unlike when you get a W-2 job, whatever it is, they're not just going to, you know, I can't just tell my W-2 job, okay, I filled my emergency fund, so I'm going to work 30 hours instead of 40. That's not something that you can do. But when you have pieced together what the job looks like, you can actually do that. And so I think being able to kind of cast a vision for how it can serve you, it can serve you differently in different seasons in a very unique way, unlike what a lot of other jobs offer you, I think is that alone, it should at least be worth looking into, I think, as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And there's just so much opportunity out there with it. It's wild. I mean, there are literally hundreds of thousands of small business owners. I do hear from some people lately, they're like, oh, but the market is saturated. It's not. It's not. That's your brain, again, finding an excuse, right? Yes, there are a lot more VAs out there right now, but the amount of VAs compared to the amount of small business owners, there's so much opportunity out there. And again, if you focus on actually networking and connecting with people, I think it's going to feel a lot more realistic than just kind of scrolling the postings, because it makes it more human and you can really see, okay, there's all of these business owners out there. That I align with, that I could support.
Yeah. And there can be more VAs than business owners, even though the opposite is true, because like I have 2 different VAs that do 2 different things for me. And so like it's not like a 1-to-1. And once a business owner has 1 VA, then they're not in the market. If I were to take on, you know, something that I don't currently do, like blogging or something, I would probably get a blogging VA. Not only can the VA piece together their career, the business owner can piece together like different VAs that offer different services.
Right. And have different skill sets too. Like I actually have 2 VAs on my team. And then one of the clients I work for, the client I've been with for about 4 years, I'm one of 9 people on her team. And it's only growing, right? So that is a really good point. It's not just like one business has 1 VA. And that's actually something I just want to kind of tag on. You just brought the thought forward for me. When you are out there doing that networking and going on Instagram, a really important thing is please don't pay attention to like how many followers an account has, because I talk to so many women who are like, oh, they have this huge following, I'm sure they're set. You don't know that. Their business could be booming and they could be actively hiring just to keep up, or maybe they're an entrepreneur, which this is pretty common, who just likes to keep control of things and is nervous to outsource. And so maybe they're actually just drowning behind the scenes because their business is booming, but they haven't built up their team to really handle it appropriately. And on the flip side of that, don't ever look at an account and be like, they only have 2,000 followers. They probably don't have a need. I have, I think, 2,400 followers now, and I have two VAs. There's just no correlation, but our brains like to try to create a correlation. So that's a key thing when you are on Instagram. Just don't even look. Don't even look at their following. Just assume like they're a business owner. Mm-hmm. They probably have a need. Let me see how I can help them.
Yeah. Because especially with something like social media looks like the forward face of a business, but it's often just a really small, narrow part of it. So you could have someone that has 1,000 Instagram followers, but they have this enormous blog or this enormous, you know, other email marketing, you know, like this other thing. And so like the social media account itself might be small, but the business might be huge. And so it, yeah, like you said, it has no correlation of, I think I got my first VA when I had, I don't know, 28,000 followers, and I should have done it way before that. I was in that same boat of I can do it myself and I don't need to pay someone or whatever, you know, like I should have done it way earlier than I even did. So I totally agree that that is not a, it's not an indicator one way or another of how established or not established a business is.
Right.
All right, Laura, where can people find you if they're like, okay, I'm going to get off of the like just thinking about it and actually do something? Where can they find you for the masterclass, for all the stuff that you have?
Yeah, I will send you a link for the masterclass so you can have that. I'll also send over a link for a freebie I have that's called the Career Switch Cheat Sheet. Mm-hmm. That's super helpful. It lays out all of these different, I think there's 12 or 15 mm-hmm. very common careers that women tend to be in, and highlights for you all of those responsibilities and tasks and things that you're probably taking care of on a daily, weekly basis. But then it draws a direct correlation to what that looks like in the virtual assistant mm-hmm. space to just kind of help you really see how the root of those skills can transfer and become something you can monetize in this VA space as well. And then I'm on all the standard social media, Instagram, TikTok, Threads. My handle is hey.lauranicole.
Okay.
And my DMs are always open. If y'all can't tell, I'm a chatty human. To answer questions, I'm an open book. So if there's anything you have questions about, I'm more than happy to answer. And I always forget to say this, but I recently launched a podcast. It's called Your Virtual Assistant Coach. Lots of tangible tips. There's, I think episode 4 is 3 signs you'll make a great VA. So that goes really in line with our conversation today. And the episode I just released last week is Finding Your First VA Client. Yeah.
Yes.
That's I forget it exists.
Yeah.
It's so new. And then I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah. And especially because people are probably listening to this on a podcast, that means they're a podcast listener, so they can jump over and listen to that as well. Well, awesome. Yeah. I will link all of that stuff in the show notes for everybody. And thank you for coming on and sharing your story and also sharing all the wisdom and advice you have for people interested in being a VA.
Yeah, absolutely. It was so fun. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Debt-Free Mom podcast. If you want to join me as a guest on the show, go to dfmpodcast.com. The Debt-Free Mom podcast is hosted by me, Carly Hill. Music for this episode was written by Kyle Hill. Hit subscribe wherever you're listening to join in with every new episode as we grow our confidence and contentment in our personal finances.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.